Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I thank you that I stand here in your strength. And Father, I worship you this morning, and I thank you for your word. And I just pray, Father, that you'll touch our hearts, and you'll speak to our hearts through your precious word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I am sort of taking the New King James Version translation and the NIV. So it's a bit of both, really. God is so faithful this morning to his people. And I am so blessed to know that God has chosen me this morning. Not because of anything I have done or not done, but because he loves me. And I was reminded last week when Craig spoke on the Passover lamb that the blood on the side and the tops of the door frames on each home was a sign that God would not destroy the people that were in those homes, but protect them from the judgment to come. The last plague, the killing of the firstborn in Egypt. The Israelites were given a command to take a lamb, a year old, a male lamb, without blemish, and kill it and put the blood on the sides and the tops of the door frame so that God would pass over and save them. Why? Because they were firstly chosen, as we are today, were saved through faith, and they were obedient to do what God asked them to do. We need to receive God, as many as received him. To those he gave the right to be called children of God. And Craig reminded me that whoever was in those homes, whatever they had done, the blood covered them. What an assurance today for us who have received Christ by faith alone. We are protected. The blood of Christ that was shed upon Calvary, and through Christ's sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God, we can receive all the blessings of God and come to our Heavenly Father boldly today through Christ. And to have a true relationship with our Heavenly Father through faith in Christ is like no other relationship. We have many relationships in life. God blesses us with our family and our friends. But to know who Christ is, to know that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and is able to protect us wherever we go, is such a blessing and an assurance. And to trust that whatever we are going through, he will never ever leave us. Ephesians 4:1-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We are chosen this morning if we know Jesus. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That word confident means to convince and to rely by inward certainty, assure, to believe, to trust and to yield. Are you inwardly convinced of that today? I hope so. That God who has begun a good work in you, in us, if we are born again this morning, will see it completed in Christ. When we are going through difficulties in our life, who do we turn to first? Is our confidence in God alone, who has already promised us in his word that we can be confident, as the Apostle Paul is writing it through God, that God who has begun a good work in you and me will see it to completion. What an assurance for the believer this morning. And we can have an inward certainty, whatever we are going through, that God will see the work began in us to completion. He will be with us, never to leave us, never to forsake us, whatever we are facing. You see, when we are going through doubts and fears caused by our circumstances in life, as children of God, through faith in Christ, this is our promise. God has begun, and God will finish the work in us. We need to trust and yield our lives to him. I read a quote from Jay Packer. The weaker we feel, the harder we lean. And the harder we lean, the stronger we grow. And sometimes we can feel so weak, but in Christ we are strong. Scripture 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, and the Lord said to the Apostle Paul and says to us this morning, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the believer this morning, we can be strong in Christ however we are feeling. Stuff comes into our lives and causing us to feel lost in our walk. We may not understand what is going on in the process of our lives. And our feelings and reasonings cause confusion and can cause us to be disappointed. But if we can in faith stand on the promises of God, they will be a sure foundation for our lives and will protect our hearts and our minds. You know, I am so blessed this morning that God has been so gracious to me. 7 years ago, to the dated weekend on a Saturday, I finished work and I never went back. I came to a point of total brokenness, unable to function normally, and at the time I couldn't see or begin to understand what God had in store for me. I was consumed with a level of fear I had never ever experienced before. Tormented and buffeted from pillar to post by the enemy of our souls. And in the midst of what seemed to me such a long battle and a spiritual attack, but the wonderful provision of God is that although God allowed me to suffer through this battle, he had a plan for me, which I didn't see. I would never have chosen to go through that battle, but God was there all the time, even when I didn't feel him. And I desperately wanted to. But you know, just because we don't feel God in our situation, just because we don't feel God's presence, the truth is, he is with us always when we belong to him. I learned to depend on God in a way I had never learned before. I learned that when we go through circumstances in life, God works it all out for the good. And I needed through that time to be pruned right back to the nub, the gardener's shears, snipping away, causing my life to bear more fruit for the kingdom. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are their called according to his purpose. The NIV says that in all things. We must agree with God's word this morning. Faith is hearing what God says, accepting and believing it, and acting upon it. God commands our obedience to him. I want to encourage you today to know that whatever your struggle may be, God is holding you and you are not alone. Maybe this morning you are holding on to hurt, doubt, fear, unforgiveness. Let it go and give it to God. I remember when I was journeying a lot and I cried before God, and I can remember writing down, how can God take this fear and confusion from me? If I am hanging on to it, I must leave it go. And I cried to God, I visualized giving it. May I never pick it up, but have total trust and surrender. What are you holding on to this morning? Give it to God. At that time, I journaled that. It was at a time of this prayer. This fear was defining my life. Yes, I still go through fears. We all do. But it doesn't need to define us. We have different coping mechanisms. I know I do. A simple example, I can get very fearful when I'm travelling in a car on the motorway. It's irrational and it doesn't really make a lot of sense, but it causes fear. That's what the enemy does. And I can feel hemmed in and start to panic. So I either sit in the back, if I feel anxious before journey, or I'm asking Jeff to go in the inside lane. Now that can help a lot, but it makes no sense really, because I'm still in the car, but part of me coping is if Jeff is on the inside lane, and I persuade myself he can easily stop and pull in, which really with him is not the case. Because he won't give in to it. But there are times when I can speak God's word against my fear, and that alone should be my coping mechanism in a fearful situation. Not my way of managing, but God's way. God does not want us to just manage this morning in our struggle. He wants us to soar like an eagle with him and be free. It is so easy to live by how we are feeling. Fear is one of the greatest tools the enemy can use against us. I heard a Christian lady say that fact defines her, not her feelings. For many years, I allowed myself to be defined by fear. I used to say readily, I can't do that, and I would have believed it. My feelings of fear were a great stumbling block. Satan will try to prevent you soaring in God this morning. He can only try, and it is for us to take the sword of the Spirit, which represents God's word, speak it against those feelings of doubt, fear, and take the shield of faith to apply it. You see, he will always keep trying to paralyze the saints of God. That is what who we are, the saints of God. When I say the saints of God, those who are saved through faith, born again by the Spirit of God, that's what the enemy does. He tries to paralyze you. And we need to serve him in liberty and in freedom. And that's what the enemy tries to stop. Satan will try to paralyze your walk and your service. He has many devices to do so. Similar to that Christian lady I spoke of, who writes down the facts on the paper, what God's word says, and then against those facts, her feelings, how she is feeling. And we also must remember that we walk by faith, not by sight. I remember writing in my journal, God's word against Satan's lies. It has reminded me perhaps to write down some scriptures, pop them in my bag, a weapon against the enemy. And when we apply God's word, that is what our coping mechanism should be. The world has many coping mechanisms. Some more obvious than others. But what are we relying on this morning? Only Christ is all sufficient for our every need. I'm reminded of a scripture I wrote down in my old King James Bible I had years ago off Paul and Leah. And I remember ringing it and starring it. And it was Luke 1:74-75. But he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So what defines you this morning? And what defines me? My answer is I am a child of God. My Father God loves me. He knows me better than anyone else and sees me in Christ perfect in him. In Psalm 139, the Father God says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Who are we trying to impress today? When God has already spoken his word over us. God, your works are wonderful, the psalmist says, and I know that full well. We need to agree with God's word this morning. Yes, Lord, you have said it. So I am purposing myself to believe it and apply it. Through all times, we can know by faith God is with us. We may not feel him, but that is of no consequence. His word says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We can choose to believe it, because whether we do or not, God's word will accomplish all he sends it out for. We live in a fallen world, and God's word will sustain and it will keep us. Isaiah 55:11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. When we are going through valley experiences, our feelings of fear, despair can so easily lead us to a place where our walk of faith wants to be a walk of sight. I understand that because I've been there myself. But God knows that, and I believe when we are so overcome with fear and how we are feeling, God can minister and show us tangibly that he is there. But other than that, it is a walk of faith, and that is good with me. Who are we drawing from in our struggles? The wells in the world are many, but eventually they all run dry. A lost world searching for the truth. There is only one well that is all sufficient this morning, and that is Christ. Our total dependency needs to be on him. Experiences in life can teach us that. And family and relationships are lovely and they're a blessing, and friendships are a blessing in Christ. But they can only meet us so far, help us so much. We can only draw from them what they can give us. or are willing to give us. But we can draw from Christ, the all-sufficient well. God has made us totally to depend on him. Our relationship with God needs to be priority this morning. First place in our lives, and when Christ is the very center of who we are, everything else falls into place, and he blesses us so greatly. We can get caught up in so much stuff that just isn't always that important, a to-do list that fills our heads. Our heads need a spring clean of clutter more than our houses do sometimes. And time with family and friends we can never recapture. We need to grasp life with two hands, and two hands with Jesus. I thank God for godly friends where together we can draw from the well and receive from Christ whatever. And whether that could be a marriage that is equally yoked, or it could be friendships, brothers and sisters in Christ, one with the Lord, equally yoked together in encouraging one another, building one another up in Christ. One of the greatest blessings in a Christian relationship is talking about the Lord, meeting with friends, and God being the center of that conversation. And I love that. But people also can let us down. And when we come to realize they are human, like us, and they will fail us, we see God in a clearer way. That he is the one who is always there and will never let us down, because his love is perfect. Are we desperate for him? Desperate for more of him this morning? The world is never going to be a perfect place. It once was, before sin entered mankind. But in Christ, we can know the perfect one this morning. God will heal and restore our lives in his timing. And God is a God of reconciliation, reconciling us back to God through faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection. God can bring joy and peace into our lives even when there are problems. I read a quote from Joanne Level, and she said, "When you have clung to Jesus through pain and problems and experienced his amazing grace, you find joy in him." That is so true, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. Philippians 4:4-9. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The Apostle Paul is imprisoned in Rome, and he's writing to the believers to encourage them. I'm sure God was sustaining him through the writing of God's word too. And he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And he even says it again, to rejoice, to encourage us today, as the early Christians were encouraged to do so. And we read four little words there. I think the Old King James says the Lord is at hand, but this is the NIV. The Lord is near. Those four little words are worth so much to a person who needs to know God is near them this morning. Goes on to say, "Do not be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Bring your request to God and be thankful." There is a promise at the end of that command, and the definition of peace is to be set at one again and to join. We join Christ. We join Christ's peace when we're in him. And that word passeth means to hold oneself above, superior or high. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." The definition of understanding means our intellect, our mind, our thoughts, our feelings, our will. And that word keep means to be a watcher in advance, to mount guard, to hem in and to protect and to keep. And the definition of the heart is our thoughts and our feelings and our mind. And the definition of mind is our purpose, our intellect, our mind and our thought. God promises that if we trust him, and are anxious for nothing, and are praying, bringing our requests, and are thankful, he will guard our hearts and minds in Christ today. I remember writing down a formula for worry and anxiety. It's God's formula. Be anxious for nothing. God obviously doesn't want me to be anxious, but he wants me to bring everything to him in prayer. Bring my requests, my needs, begging and craving him with my requirements and with a grateful heart when I ask. Then the peace of God, which is higher and superior to my understanding, shall be a watcher in advance. I really love that, because he's watching in advance for us. To mount guard, to protect, and to your, for your, and my heart, my and your heart, which is my thoughts and feelings in Christ Jesus. And I wrote on the bottom, what a promise for a sound mind. Let us think on the whatsoevers today. Whatsoever true, whatsoever noble, whatsoever right, pure, lovely. The Apostle Paul said, think upon these things, meditate upon these things. Put these into practice. Whatever you have seen in me, or learned, or received, or heard from me, do. And the peace, and the God of peace will be with you. God's peace goes far beyond and above our circumstances. Isaiah 26 verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And the definition of stayed is to lean upon, to rest self. And I love that this morning. You see, what Isaiah is saying is the same as what we read in the letter to the Philippians. If we are purposing our hearts not to be anxious, to meditate on God's word and trust him, taking everything to him in prayer with thanksgiving, we will receive this perfect peace that only comes through knowing and trusting Christ. We need to purpose ourselves to set ourselves in God's word. We read, we do this. The God of, if we do this, we read that the God of peace will be with us. When our mind is leaning upon God's word, taking hold of his word. That's a lovely illustration, leaning on God's word. I was blessed to hear a sister in Christ say to me that she is just keeping on being focused on being thankful through the valley. Keeping our minds stayed on Christ. We need God's peace. There we will find it. Romans 12 verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As Christians, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, not copying the customs of this world, the world's behavior, but to be changed by the renewing of our minds. We do that through God's word and obedience to him. We cannot be on the fence. We are transformed when our minds are renewed by the work of the Holy Spirit guiding us and convicting us of sin. We must learn to meditate on everything that is good, that the Apostle Paul, through the Spirit of God, encourages us to do, to be thankful in all things. When we are walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit, we will know transformation, because the Holy Spirit empowers us to live as Christ calls us to. Renewing our thinking to align with God's thinking. Ephesians 4:21-24 we read, when you have heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands. 1 John 5:3. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. God calls us to a life of obedience. We are saved by grace, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Our salvation is secure through faith. But our walk is a daily walk, that God wants us to live in obedience to him. We need to abide in the vine, to abide in Jesus Christ this morning. We tend to try and complicate things. I know I do. I'm probably the biggest one to do it. But I know I do, as I said. And by over-reasoning things, using our own intellect, we can cause confusion. Carnal reasoning instead of the wisdom of God. In the book of James, we read, James 1 and 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." We will never reason God's way with our natural thinking. We must lay aside carnal reasoning. We need God's wisdom. Let him ask God. We like to try and fathom things out, try and reason in our minds what we have to do, or what God is calling us to do. And I believe God reminded me this week that through his word, that we don't need to do all this reasoning. We only complicate things when we do that. The answer came simply in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." What a scripture to confirm to us to read, and to, we need to leave go from trying to work things out. I read the following passage in Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind book. "If you want to see God's good and perfect will proven out in our lives, we can if we have our minds renewed." Renewed to what? Renewed to God's way of thinking. And by this process of new thinking, we will be changed or transformed into what God intends for us to be. Jesus has made this transformation possible by his death and resurrection. It's because it becomes a reality in our lives by the process of the renewing of the mind. And she goes on to explain that right thinking has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is based solely on the blood of Jesus, his death and resurrection. But explains that many people who have been made right with God through faith in Christ, who are Christians and have entered heaven, but never have walked in the victory or enjoyed the good plan God had for their lives, because they did not get their mind renewed according to his word. And to know victory and power over the enemy, we need to use God's word, and we need to apply it and use it. It is vital if we want to keep ourselves above water. We need, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to yield ourselves daily to Christ to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for our lives. Titus 3, 4 to 5. "But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." Our salvation is secure through faith in Christ this morning alone. But there is a progress of sanctification, dying to self. I can remember somebody saying that to me as a young Christian, "You need to die to self." And this is a transforming of our lives. We need to be transformed internally through God, a genuine heart and mind change to be more like Christ. To be obedient to him, we see a wonderful example of obedience and faith. As we turn, if you want to turn to your Bibles, if you have them, to the Old Testament in Numbers 13. And we will look at just have a little look at the first one in a minute. We read here in Numbers 13 how God says to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites." Now Israel had come out of Egypt. They saw the mighty hand of providence, and they were camped on the border, about to go into the promised land, which God had already promised them, already theirs for the taking. And Moses sends 12 men, 12 spies, in to explore the land, when God has already told them it is a good land, flowing with milk and honey, representing health and prosperity. And we read further on in Deuteronomy 1 verse 22 that the idea of exploring the land originally came from them, the people themselves. And here we see the natural reasoning instead of faith. And God is gracious, he allowed the 12 chosen spies to see for themselves what the promise looked like. They could have gone straight on in, but they wanted to judge the land for themselves. A bit like us, really, we want to see the promise before we walk in it. And they go in and see what the land is like, and they come back and agree with Moses and say in Numbers 13 verse 27, "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit." Verse 28. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." Verse 29. "The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites near the sea and along the Jordan." They speak of the giants in the land. That has become their focus. And what are we focusing on today? Exodus 23 verse 30. God had promised them he would deal with these giants. "Little by little I will drive them out from before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land." God goes on to say, "For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. Nevertheless," the men say. That word "nevertheless" is to bring something to naught, less than nothing. Are we like that when God has given us everything in Christ we need, but we are prevented to take possession of the land because of our focus? They acknowledge the promise, the land is good, they are shown it, but they bring God's promise to naught by focusing on the giants, the children of Anak. The definition of Anak is of a giant, of Anak is like a necklace as if strangling you, something that would take the life out of you. And that's what the enemy does, doesn't he? And these nations, these ites, the enemies that were coming up against them, they saw them as powerful in their eyes. That is what the devil tries to do, tries to paralyze your walk through fear. They will even be the people in church who will agree with you about your not able to do attitude. They will pacify you. It's too much for you. We read that Caleb and Joshua are the only two who are faithful to God's promise. Numbers 13 verse 30, "Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" Thank God for encouragers in Christ today. That is the voice of faith speaking. We are well able in Christ to do all he calls us to do. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Oh, to have the spirit of Caleb. We are well able. We too can possess all God has for us, but we need to step out in faith and claim it in Jesus' name. These natures, these giants in the land, are obstacles in the way. The enemy is good at doing that. He tries to put obstacles in our way. The spies were fearful. They saw themselves as grasshoppers in their own sight and in the sight of the giants. And what giants or obstacles do we face to prevent us from receiving from God? Caleb was speaking from his faith, not the problem. The definition of giant here is a bully or a tyrant. The enemy uses imaginations to bully us, causing us to have a grasshopper mentality. And he is the bully of bullies. The devil can encourage a grasshopper mentality to stop us from possessing all God has for us in Christ. "I can do that. I can do all things through Christ." The grasshopper mentality will cause us to say, "I'm not able to do that. I can't do that." But in Christ we can. The Israelites had seen all the miracles, all God's powers of God's mighty hand in Egypt, how God had delivered them, parted the Red Sea, and yet they remained fearful to the promise. We now have the written word down for us to live by, and we too can be fearful I know I can. Preventing us to take possession of the land, kingdom blessings. Luke 12, verse 32, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God promised to deal with their enemies, drive them out until they had increased and inherited the land, little by little. And that little by little experience, that step by step, we learn to trust and grow through the little by little. We learn to increase and grow strong in God. The definition of increase is to bear fruit, to become more fruitful for the kingdom. And through the little by little experience, we become more fruitful. Only Caleb and Joshua enter the promised land. What are you allowing to hinder your walk with God today? Are you discounting God's promises for your life to possess what God has for us? We have to step out in faith and claim it. We have a choice, as Caleb and Joshua did. God had told the Israelites in Deuteronomy 7, verse 2, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before you, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. We don't need to learn how to live with our problem, or how to cope with it, nor to make peace with it. Lay it down, let God carry it, let God take it, cast it upon him. Agree with God's word, not the problem. If you are suffering with fear, anxiety, choose to guard your heart and your mind, meditating on God's word. You know, I was thinking of Peter, and I was reading something about Peter in the New Testament. When he stepped out of the boat and walked on water to Jesus, he was walking by faith, and as soon as he saw his circumstances, all the waves and the natural circumstances, he was afraid. When he began to sink, God saved him immediately. God knows our frailties. He knows we fear. But I'm sure Peter would never have forgotten that experience with Jesus for years to come. I never thought about that until I read about it a few days ago. I knew the story. I knew Peter's faith in stepping out. But I didn't think, sometimes we don't always think of them as people. But that experience with Jesus, he stepped out. And that would have stayed with him through his ministry. Yes, there will be times when we will still fear. But in that fear, we can know God is with us. Immediately, he will save us. Let us step out of the boat this morning. And we can be transformed of our thinking by replacing thoughts of fear and dread with God's word. When the enemy comes against us, we can take the shield of faith in God's word, which will deflect the lies and accusations of the devil. Put your shield up, shield of faith, and when those fiery darts come, we have all we need in Christ to overcome. Another quote from G.V. Wigram. If born of God, I have power to overcome all that is not of God. If born of God, I have power to overcome all that is not of God. Let us, like Caleb, have a we are able mentality. I read a statement from someone who said, I read words of life of truth, soaking them in over and over again, praying out loud, until they become so familiar they replaced the other things in my mind I battle against. Put those facts, what God says, on paper. Learn and memorize some of them. It is our weapon against the enemy. And a quote from Joyce Meyer. You and I must grow to the place where we are satisfied to know the one who knows, even if we ourselves do not know. And that is so true. Do you know, I don't listen to a lot of her ministry, really, but I picked up the book in the week, and there's some real gems in that book, Battlefield of the Mind. And so we need to trust God. Our carnal reasonings, trying to work things out ourselves, when we try and work things out ourselves, it allows for doubt and fear to come in. It allows us to start obsessing about things. I believe another control of the enemy is OCD. The enemy can use that. It's a cruel illness, and the enemy can use it. And the more we obsess on our carnal reasoning, the more he allows doubt and fear. We need to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ this morning. And that's where trust comes in. When we try and take control of our lives, we begin to reason and try and work things out. In doing so, we will be left mentally and spiritually exhausted and miss out on the blessing. The 10 men who looked at the problem began to reason with the situation instead of seeing what God had promised. And let us, and if you want to turn to your Bibles, can I pick and move on? Just move this bit there. We just finish with encouraging passages of Scripture. Firstly, Deuteronomy 1:19-40. Put that up there. Then as the Lord our God commanded us, we set out from Horeb and went toward the hill country of the Amorites through all that vast and dreadful wilderness that you have seen. And so we reached Kadesh Barnea. Then I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God has given us. See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, told you. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Then all of you came to me and said, let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring back a report about the route we are to take and the towns we will come to. The idea seemed good to me, so I selected 12 of you, one man from each tribe. They left and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and explored it. Taking with them some of the fruit of the land, they brought it down to us and reported it is a good land that the Lord our God has given us. But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, the Lord hates us. So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear. They say the people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large with walls up to the sky. We even saw the Anakites there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God is going before you. The Lord your God who is going before you will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes, and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son. All the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey, in fire by night and in a cloud by day, to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. When the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore, no one from this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your ancestors, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his foot on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Because of you, the Lord became angry with me also and said, you shall not enter it either, but your assistant Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it. Encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it. And the little ones that you said would have be taken captive, your children who do not know yet know good from bad, they will enter the land. I will give it to them and they will take possession of it. But as for you, turn around and set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea. So we see here that Caleb and Joshua received the promise. And if we jump to Joshua 21:43-45. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. The King James, the New King James, says, all came to pass. 1 Corinthians 2:9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. This morning, These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The world doesn't understand, but we do when we've got a hope. The Holy Spirit reveals that hope in us. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. Father, I thank you that there is no one like Jesus this morning. And Father, I just thank you for the day that you saved me. And Father, I thank you for everything that you are. And Lord, I thank you that you bless us with all our family and friends. They are such a wonderful blessing in Christ. And Lord, I just thank you that when we put you in the center of our lives, we can enjoy these relationships when you are in the very center of our hearts today. We thank you now, Lord, and we worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've got to turn this off now.